All right, good morning. This is Pastor David. Got Pastor Joey here in my office, and we're going to go for try number two on this article. We actually did this yesterday morning and had some technical difficulties, so we are back this morning just for you. That's what we do this for. We're all about the people out there, and we're doing a News and Focus podcast this morning on Colin Kaepernick, which, if you have not had your head in the sand, has dominated media and social media, and I listened to a lot of talk radio, and I had a class up at seminary yesterday, and actually went to see some friends in High Point last night, too. So I was in the car yesterday for about probably 4 hours total, listening to both sports talk and some political talk, and this issue was still dominating every show. Didn't matter what the genre was in those two areas, this was the topic. With people calling in with their decisions and their opinions and everything about what was going on with Kaepernick. So, if you haven't been paying attention, Colin Kaepernick chose to sit down, which I heard last night, this is the second time he's done this. I guess he did this in the last preseason game too, but nobody really noticed. And somebody noticed this time, and they confronted him about it, and of course he came out. And we've got an article here from Yahoo Sports, again, we mentioned yesterday. There seems to be extreme positions on this issue, so finding a neutral article was kind of difficult. But it says, previous San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick says he's ready for the backlash after his refusal to stand for the national anthem out of support for African Americans and other minorities. He'd better be. Responses came fast and sometimes furious. After sitting out the anthem before Friday's exhibition game in San Francisco against the Green Bay Packers, Kaepernick told NFL media, "I'm not going to stand up to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color. To me, this is bigger than football, and it would be selfish on my part to look the other way. There are bodies in the street and people getting paid leave and getting away with murder." So, I think that's where we started yesterday. Yeah, yeah. So, I will throw it back to you again, just like we did before.
It's a good spot to jump off of. Yeah. He's obviously probably being a little too dramatic. Obviously, we talked about yesterday and the idea that the American flag is, it has had some history that has flown underneath it that we're not proud of, and in the same way that the Confederate flag, and the two are not the same, so let's just make that clear.
Yeah.
But in the same way that people said the Confederate flag should not fly for what it stood for, you can maybe in some cases, and you said told me yesterday not to be so broad in the generalization of that, but the American flag has flown over lots of stuff that's not good. And we don't need to recount all that. If you know anything about our history of our country, you know what that is. So in some sense, I don't want to say that I agree with him by any stretch of the imagination, but at least I can see where he's coming from in that regard. And yet at the same time, a lot of these guys have been cleared of murder. A lot of these police officers have been cleared of murder. They've been found that they didn't do anything wrong, whether it was via a grand jury or through an investigation. And it's not as if black people are, what's he say, laying in the street. I mean, and I get what he's saying. He's referring to those guys, the one guy in, I think, St. Louis.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, you know.
And some of that stuff looks awful bad.
It does look awful bad. And it didn't, but it's not like this is happening all the time. It's more frequent, maybe, and it's brought to our attention more because of a 24-hour news cycle, but it's not happening all that more frequent. And I think something we have to be able to say, Dave, is, and I don't know if we talked about this yesterday, is we can be for black lives and be for blue lives, right? And we can be for women and for babies in the womb. And you get the idea sometimes that if you don't support Black Lives Matter, then you're a racist.
Yeah.
Or if you try to see their viewpoint of where Black Lives Matter is coming from, no matter how misguided they are, well, you must hate police officers. And we've got to stop getting in the ditches on these issues and try to find some middle ground.
Yeah, we've mentioned it before, but you have to take a polar extreme view of something. You know, it's like either all cops are racist or all young black men are thugs. You know, like that's the only thing you can say, rather than taking a balanced approach and look at this stuff from a logical perspective. He is a Black Lives Matter supporter. You can tell that because he's got talking points. I mean, he does have that sort of thing. And I think you can be, like you said, I think we can be very concerned with some of the instances that have gone on that have not looked real good. You know, we have to admit that There have been some situations where there needs to be an investigation. There needs to be some oversight and things like that. But at the same time, I can do that without supporting the tone and the dialogue of the Black Lives Matter movement, which is really, it's taken on, unfortunately, the personality of so many of these civil rights movements of, you know, your Jesse Jacksons and your Al Sharptons, and it's become a political agenda. It hasn't really, and I think that's probably one of the big criticisms of Kaepernick is, okay, he says he's standing up for this issue. Well, has he really drawn attention to the issue, or has he drawn attention to himself? I mean, what's all the dialogue about here? It's not about Black Lives Matter. No. It's not about police brutality. It's about a guy who is perceived as being unbelievably ungrateful and disrespectful to the American flag.
Yeah, there. We said yesterday, and we keep saying it that way. Because people didn't listen.
I promise
yesterday,
we talked yesterday,
but we did. Yeah. It like you said, it's not. You can't. It's not the best way to talk about the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Really, all you've done is polarize people. And now you've got the people who you would expect to disagree with you are disagreeing with you, and in most cases vehemently. And then you have the people that you would expect to agree with you, supporting you, trying to prop you up, making Colin Kaepernick look like a hero. And it's like, well, you haven't done anything except for divide people more and more.
Mm-hmm.
That's all this accomplished. We're not any closer to working to an issue or bringing two very divided groups of people closer together.
Mm-hmm.
And really, you're just fitting into the Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, one of those two camps, that kind of idea. You're either, you know, it's all or nothing. And I don't think that he's helping the movement in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what we've got. That's the stalemate that we have. Okay, everybody that agrees with him still agrees with him, and everybody that disagrees with him still disagrees with him. You know, and now they have a face to... You know, and I've seen some ugly tweets out there directed at him that have confirmed some of the racism that's evident in this country. So, you know, there are two sides, probably more than two sides to this issue. And one is he didn't break a law.
Right.
And I'll get to the point of offending the other side. But there is no law in this country that says you have to stand for the national anthem. So he has made a choice. Now, there are going to be consequences to his choice. He may have cut his career short. And if he believes that that is worth it, okay, that's his choice. He's going to have to live with the consequences, fair or unfair, of what he's done. But we do live in a country that has freedom of speech to a large degree. Obviously, you know, there are the exceptions. You can't run into a theater and yell fire.
Right.
But he is free to express himself by not standing up for the national anthem. And, you know, the guys on the other side that are offended, which, again, you have every right to be offended. That flag means something to you. You've served this country. You've sacrificed. You've seen brothers die in defense of this country, and that flag means something more to you. You did not fight. You know, we say all the time that people died and fought for our rights in this country. Well, you fought for the right for him to be able to express his opinion. You know, you didn't fight for the right for him to act the way that you want him to act. And that's what we're missing, I think, in many of these cases is, you know, we love America, rah-rah patriotism, but the whole point of that is people are allowed to express themselves in free speech. And I've said it before on other things. It's legal to be a jerk in America.
Right.
You're allowed to be a
jerk.
Just
listen to talk radio.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, all these movements, it's legal to be a jerk. Guess what? If you want to go free speech, then you have to allow the existence of a KKK. You have to allow the existence of a Black Panther Party. Because as long as they are just speaking words in their opinions, they are allowed to do that. Colin Kaepernick did not incite a riot. He did not incite any kind of violence. He didn't break any laws in doing what he was doing. So you don't have to agree with what he did. You don't have to like what he did. You can absolutely abhor what he did. But he's free to do that in this country. So don't claim, you know, rah-rah USA and then come down on the guy for expressing his beliefs.
Yeah.
So often I think what happens is those of us that are conservative and in conservative Christians is there's been a muddying of the waters of sorts between Christianity and patriotism. And I think that's entirely evident in our you know, in our Donald Trump fueled conservative movement at this point, if you want to even call it a conservative movement, or the Fox News Christianity that I like to call it, that being a conservative Republican is akin to being a Christian, and it's just kind of an unfortunate connection, I think, that we see playing out in issues like this, because it really is a blight on our Christian witness when, you know, racism and different things come out in our passion for the flag, right. And the cross really doesn't have much to do with the flag.
Yeah, right. The cross is supreme over the flag. Mm-hmm. The scriptures are supreme over the Constitution, and I think we need to get back to trying to understand that a lot, not just a little bit, a lot, that the two are not the same. And Colin Kaepernick, we discussed this a little bit yesterday, may be a Christian at some point. He was a little bit of a hero for Christians because people thought he was a Christian because some of the Bible verses. You know, you said he was raised by Christian parents. He was adopted by two white people, a man and a woman. We have to make that clear today.
Yeah.
So, you know, by a married couple that were white, and yet now he's all of a sudden the villain, hatred. And I think a danger that we have is really almost what's happening is we're underscoring what the people on the left say. But, well, I'm not a bigot. Yeah, but right now you're everything you're saying in on social media is making you look like the bigot they already think you are.
Yeah.
You're not doing anything to change the fact that that they think you're a bigot. You're really just underscoring it. Not only that, but you've lost an opportunity, more than likely, to share the gospel. And what we have to be able to do is cut through the crap and get to the issue and try to figure out how it is that we can have an open dialogue that ultimately will lead to being able to share the gospel. So go ask some black friends that you work with what they think about the issue and what they think that you misunderstand. That way, at least you're talking about the issue. And maybe you're gaining some credibility with them because here's a white guy that actually cares what we think, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think we underestimate the fact that the ability that we have to go and sit down and have an honest conversation with someone and just listen to what they have to say to show that we care, to show that we're trying to understand their side, and prove for the fact that we're not racist, that we're not bigots, and not all Christians are idiots, and we do have a gospel that's ready to change lives and can really influence the black community.
Yeah, and we can't let our preferences override that.
Right.
I would prefer that Colin Kaepernick stood and respectfully stood during the national anthem. You know, that would be my preference. That's what I will do every time the national anthem is played. That's what I'll teach my children to do. But it's a preference, you know, and it's not law, it's not required. You know, and again, we can talk all day about the effectiveness of his stand, but he has chosen to make a stand and he's free to do that. So I think rather than get out of the country, go, you know, now there are sides to this that we talked about yesterday. You know, it doesn't leave a good taste in our mouth when we hear a guy that makes $100 million saying, you know, black people are oppressed in this country. Now, he may not be talking about himself. He can be talking about others and that kind of thing. It does, just because you have money doesn't mean that you're not oppressed, I guess. You know, there could be, and there are racial issues that he could still run into as a rich man. But, you know, the one side of the issue is, okay, well, what oppression are you talking about? You know, and I mentioned this yesterday, you know, is it the oppressive country that allowed you to play football for a living? You know, the oppressive country that allowed you to make hundreds of millions of dollars? Is it the oppressive country that elected a black president twice? There are a lot of issues there that we can talk about. But on the other side, there is perception is reality. And if somebody perceives oppression and perceives that, even if they're wrong, to them it's reality. And so rather than, oh, you're an idiot, stop talking, let's have a conversation. Let's get past the fallacies that are being put out there as fact and these talking points that he's so heavily leaning on that has been influenced by a political movement. And let's talk about what's really going on. I heard a quote from his press conference last night, and he really came down on police officers about their lack of training. Well, he doesn't know this one thing about what police officers do in their training.
Right.
You know, and to say, you know, they only get trained for 6 months. Well, that's not really true. It's not an accurate statement. I mean, police officers are always undergoing training and how to deal with these different things. And I mean, we could talk to law enforcement officers in our own church, and they would tell you that that the training never really stops. That it is a high stress and high difficulty job. You know, that Colin Kaepernick would probably never volunteer to do.
Right.
And what is he doing? And that's the other side of it is, okay, you've got hundreds of millions of dollars. What are you doing to make an impact? Because not standing for the national anthem isn't changing anything. What are you doing? And maybe he is. We mentioned this yesterday. Maybe he is investing money in the inner cities. I don't know. But what are you doing to change the situation?
Yeah, I think I think he's really got to be more specific. And all right, how are black people oppressed? Right? How are policemen not getting enough training? And then on the other side, the retort might be, well, who are you to judge someone who had to make a split-second decision? Wrong or not, you know? You make a split-second wrong decision,
yeah.
You throw an interception, and your team loses the football game, and you still get a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
These guys make a split-second decision. All of a sudden, they're getting death threats. They got people protesting. They are placed on administrative leave. Ultimately, they may lose their job. It's possible they may never be able to get another job in the field that they love ever again.
Not to mention how the emotions of dealing with the situation.
Sure, the emotions that they have, the things that they're taught to look out for, because they are taught to profile. You have to be on guard. So there's all these things that he's not really thinking about or even being fair about in the discussion. You can't just come down on all police officers. We have a African American police officer in our church,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you even them, you're coming down on those guys too. It's hard. Those guys are involved in these situations as well, and so you're really just pigeonholing people. And again, you're not really doing anything that's actually productive.
Yeah,
and it just really turns out to be, at the end of the day, Dave, it turns out to be a big waste of time.
Yeah, that's occupying. It's fruitless stuff. It's you know, I talked to the kids down at our Get Acquainted Days the other day about engaging entertainment, and one of the things that I used from Scripture was Acts 17 with Paul mm-hmm. in Athens, and one of the things that it says is those guys at the Areopagus, all those philosophers, they just sat around and talked about nothing. I mean, that's essentially what the Scripture tells us, and that's what we're doing. We're sitting, rather than doing something, rather than trying to make a change or trying to invest money here and invest time here. We're just sitting around talking about nothing, talking about a guy who didn't stand up, which he has every right not to do. And yes, I know, veterans, it's offensive to you, and you have every right to be offended by it. You have every right to be repulsed by what he did. But also realize that you fought for the idea of him doing that. And you know, I mentioned it. It's hard not to say that there are some racial elements here, because I mentioned yesterday the last three people that have been criticized for their behavior during national anthems that I've seen in national media are Colin Kaepernick, Gabby Douglas, and Cam Newton. All three of them African-American athletes. You know, Gabby Douglas for not putting her hand over her heart at the Olympic medal ceremony, and Cam Newton for not taking his skull cap off or putting his hand over his heart during football games. And the thing I brought up yesterday is, in that same same set of Olympics down there in Rio that Gabby Douglas didn't put her hand over her heart, Michael Phelps was on the stand laughing during the national anthem and kind of pointing at his friends and stuff. Well, I haven't seen any hit pieces on Michael Phelps for his unprofessional behavior, and maybe there have been, but it hasn't been in the national media like this.
Yeah, I found one article where it was mentioned, and it was why, and basically it was the idea of why is Gabby. It wasn't so much against Michael Phelps as the reason probably Gabby Douglas is saying it, because she looked sour, she looked pouty, she looked unhappy. And the reason no one really cared about Michael Phelps is because he was happy, he was celebrating.
Yeah, he just won, right?
But at the same time, I mean, you're still not standing there with respect and in solidarity with soldiers who have mm-hmm. fought and died for that flag with your hand over your heart, thinking about what the words of that national anthem. He's not doing that any more than Colin Kaepernick is doing it.
Yeah,
and so you're right. It does seem to have a racial element to it.
Yeah, because I know if I'm at a sporting event and there's somebody messing around during the national anthem, you know, my inside wants to go, hey, jerk, stop moving around. This is important, you know. And I think that's the thing that Kaepernick says. Well, this isn't about the military. This isn't but you have to realize what your stand is doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked yesterday about, and you mentioned it a little bit earlier, keeping lines open for the gospel, keeping lines open for a Christian voice in this whole thing. And Kaepernick has shut that off by disrespecting a group of people. Again, that's why I think we could say it has been a better, there'd be a better way to do this. But then on the other side, we have plenty of people shutting off the same avenue of conversation because of a lack of forgiveness, mm-hmm. a lack of empathy. I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's conversation to be had here instead of taking our polar positions and ripping the other side apart. And if you followed some of the guys, some of the NFL guys on Twitter, it's kind of split down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got a lot of people saying, both African-American and white players saying, he should have, this isn't the time, he should have stood up. And others saying, I'm with him 100%. You know, it's really all over the map. It seems to be where you fall on the political spectrum is where you're gonna fall on this issue. And I don't know that that's the best way to make our judgments, you know.
Yeah, I think I was reading, I told you yesterday, a book by Carl Truman called Republicrat. And he talks about the, and we were talking about this, about dispensationalism just before we started the conversation. Mm-hmm. There seems to be, we need to be able to understand that these issues are very, very nuanced.
Yeah.
Whether we're talking about health care, Black Lives Matter, abortion, they're all very nuanced. There's lots of things that need to be considered, and you can't just have these gut reactions to the left mm-hmm. or to the right. You've got to be willing to have a conversation about this sort of stuff. And that's just not happening. And he talks about the need for Christians to be able to do that, to cut through all the fluff and say, hey, look, there are some issues where Black people are still oppressed in the United States.
This is where they're coming from.
And this is where they're coming from. They're coming from 200 years of history where there was oppression. The reason, again, I'm for voter ID laws, but the reason they're so against voter ID laws is because to them it sounds almost like a poll tax, or if you can't read and write, you can't vote. To them, that's what it conjures up images of, and so that's how they view it. And our inability to do that not only shuts off us to build a relationship with them, but ultimately keeps us from being able, in the end, to share the gospel, just because we won't listen. And we just want to have this gut reaction.
Yeah, and I think it's a dangerous place to be, you know, especially coming at it from a Christian perspective. If we're to influence the world, we can't just fall lockstep into political agendas.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dangerous place to be. So we're about out of time and all that, but I know there are guys out there listening going, you know, you're being too easy on them. That's your opinion, and you can have that. You know, we don't agree with what he did. We don't like at all what he did. We think it's absolutely disrespectful. But again, it's legal to be an idiot in this country. And so, if you want your freedom of speech to preach the gospel, if you want your freedom of speech to be able to pray in public, if you want your freedom of speech to be able to say what you want to say on your social media accounts and all that, well, then you've got to give him the same right. You can't be inconsistent about that and then say, USA, USA, because you're fundamentally misunderstanding what this country is all about. So you're a Christian first, you're an American second, and if you're not approaching these issues in that order, that's where you got to check yourself. Because this is not, you know, I'm proud to be an American, I respect the flag, I respect all of you guys that have served more than anyone, but you've got to allow people to have their voice, and agree or disagree. And so I think don't put preferences and extra biblical and extra constitutional standards on people just because you disagree with their stand.
Yeah, and be polite and Christ-like in your dialogue.
Yeah, be kind.
Please.
that would be a step in the right direction.
Yes.
You can be passionate and all that, but we always want to ask, when you put these things up, where's the gospel?
Mm-hmm.
Is the gospel in your presentation? Because if it's not, then you're doing it wrong, Christian. You're doing it wrong. It's got to be in everything that you do. So, again, agree or disagree, you can put comments directly on this podcast. And like I said, I'm sure we'll have plenty that disagree with us. But we're just asking for some rational thought here. Don't always go with your gut instinct. Take a moment to exhale and breathe and look at this thing a little bit more logically, and maybe you'll come to a different conclusion. So we appreciate you listening. Have a good day.